So you have your Bibles, my friend. Let's be encouraged by the Word of God. Of course, the emphasis is on the prayer service, and so how wonderful and necessary it is for us to keep praying for one another. And I'd like to kind of touch on that tonight. And so the title of the message is Praying to be Counted Worthy. Praying to be counted worthy. You and I, just as the Apostle Paul prayed for the Thessalonians, we ought to be praying for one another to be counted worthy of the calling of a Christian. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll start there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Prayer, of course, is a work. It is a spiritual work, but it is also, if done right, an exhausting work. And so let us not quit. Let's put the pedal to the metal. But let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And then verse 11. We'll start here. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11, the Word of God says, Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling, to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought to be in Thy house even tonight. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood on Calvary's cross, His resurrection, that we've been bought with a price. That, Father, we can come, Lord, here on bended knee tonight to knit our hearts in unity and prayer. And that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is in our midst, that we know You, God, that we know You personally. And so, Father, we ask that You would anoint these lips of clay, that I would speak what You would have me to say, Lord. And be with brother here, bless him, guide him in his steps as he serves You. 80%, Lord, that's a tremendous joy. And just continue to open doors, and that he would be used of You there where You called him, Lord, and help all of us to be counted worthy of this calling, to be a Christian. And so, Father, we love You. Bless now the preaching of Thy word. May our hearts be stirred and encouraged and edified in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He's not writing to a group of preachers. Okay, he's writing to what we would call, what we would consider, you know, laymen, okay, regular Christians, but all of us, of course, as Christians, are called to a life of holy living, to a life of surrendered service, not just the quote-unquote ministers, okay? And so here he's encouraging, challenging them, and this is a big deal. It's a big enough deal where Paul is saying, wherefore also we pray always. I mean, he's constantly praying for the Thessalonians. To what end? That our God would count you worthy of this calling. This calling meaning the call to be a fruitful servant of the Lord, a soldier for the cross, a Christian, for Jesus' sake, to serve Him. You know, of course, when we think of our salvation, none of us are obviously worthy of salvation. No one is worthy of being saved. No one is worthy of being called of God. But after we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we are now sons of God. We are now Christians. May we live accordingly as a Christian. This is what God desires of us, to be worthy, meaning to be having a testimony that is becoming of a Christian, to be acting accordingly, to be living up to that calling of a Christian as a child of God. Paul reiterates it to, in fact, many of those that he writes to. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye what? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now that they're saved, they should live like they're saved. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Well, by the way, isn't that a blessing? When you plant a seed, it grows and bears fruit. That's wonderful. Only happens when you do it in the Spirit. And increasing in the knowledge of God, always getting closer to God, not further. 1 Thessalonians, the previous epistle, 2:12, says that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And so may we, again, still by God's grace, through faith, be worthy and live up to that calling. And it might seem like an impossible task to us, and it is impossible in the flesh because it is a work of God. It is a spiritual work, and therefore has to be centered around prayer. Prayer is the spiritual work, and prayer of faith unleashes the power of God in our life. And This is huge. Again, our main verse, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill. We'll get to the rest of this verse in a little bit, but just chew on these seeds here. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. It's a wonderful thing to live the Christian life that God desires us to do. All the reservoir of God's blessing, if we but walk worthy of the calling that he has for us, and the work of faith with power. Before I kind of get ahead of myself, I just want to share, I really, this is a call to action. It's not just a theory or a theoretical message that we not just learn about how wonderful it is to pray for one another, but that we actually do it. And so it's a joy. I look forward to Thursday services. This is our midweek prayer service, but it's a reminder to me of the blessedness and necessity of group prayer, having a prayer partner, praying for one another. If you go to Ecclesiastes, and this is not even part of the message, it's more of a, you know, just a kind of a thought to kind of chew on. But if you go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Psalms, Proverbs, we'll find Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And go to verse 9 with me here. Again, when you look at this in the lens of prayer, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, go to verse 9. And we read these verses before, but again, just to kind of jog our, stir up our memory here, our mind, says, two are better than one. I didn't say it, God said it. Two are better than one because they have, they, plural, have a good reward for their labor. And so the context here is two laborers are better than one laborer, okay, because they're laboring, okay, it's not two idle Christians. Okay, these are two laboring Christians, so context is very important. And because, why are they better than one? Because they have a good reward. And when you think about good, of course, there is none good but God. God alone is good, and he's a source of all goodness. And so this reward here is not talking about earthly, material, carnal rewards. It's talking about heavenly rewards, rewards from God. Okay, so that's huge. And of course, this truth, this principle, two are better than one, applies to certainly physical labor, but more so in the context of laboring for God, spiritual labor, like prayer. And living the Christian life is hard work physically, emotionally, spiritually. It takes its, it takes its toll on us. But living that Christian life yields good, meaning heavenly, of God, rewards. And the rewards this side of glory, we might not ever see, not till we get to the judgment seat of Christ. But that's exactly what faith is. Faith is when we believe the scriptures and do it anyway, even though we don't see perhaps any fruit of what we're doing physically, right? We just trust, well, according to the Bible, if I surrender my life and live for Christ, I might not feel like it now, but when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I'd be so thankful I did. That's faith. Like, well, Lord, I feel like quitting, but I don't want to be weary in well-doing. I'm just gonna last it out and trust you. Because, my friends, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, there's no redo. There's no going back. It's not like, oh, I didn't realize I should. No, that's it. And I don't want to stand before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and coulda, woulda, shoulda. Wish I could have. Oh, I should have just given it, just a little bit more. I've been a little bit more faithful and not tap out so soon. And so I know how I am. And can I share with you, my friends, I have worked the hardest when I have people that are counting on me. I tend to be okay letting myself down, but I don't like letting someone else down, okay? I don't mind eating, cutting corners and eating junky, but I don't want you to eat junky. I want you to have good stuff, okay? Me, who cares about me? And so it holds me accountable. And in the context here of prayer, it's how true it is, and besides, we are to seek God, believing that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder, or the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's from Hebrews, what faith is, of course. And the context, you can certainly think of that as faith. So we're living in faith, we're living in prayer, seeking to serve God, laboring there. And then look at verse 10, speaking about the good labor, spiritual labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. And can I share with you what a blessing it is to pray as a church family on Thursday? And we serve in our home church in Eau Claire. I enjoyed praying on Wednesday. We had, that was our midweek service. I had, we had a few fellow, not very well attended, but for those that did attend the service, we were pretty close. So we would pray and team up, and it was just a few handful of men that we kind of rotated around with. But we were, you know, we prayed our hearts out to the Lord, and we were close together. But the fact that they were there encouraged me to pray. I've been very blessed, as I've shared before. We have our Tuesday pastor's prayer call that I'm very blessed to be a part of. That's just something about, anywhere from six of us to 10 of us at one time, depending who can make it. I try to make it every Tuesday morning. So it's just a phone call, conference thing, and we pray. And then we take turns giving a devotion. And the blessing is, can I share with you, if it were not for that prayer call, I don't know how many Tuesdays at 7 in the morning I would be praying. I like to think some, but certainly not as it is now, which pretty much is every Tuesday morning, we'll be praying. That, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. If I didn't have my prayer partners, when I fall and don't pray, guess what? I'm just not going to pray. But if I've got a prayer team that I normally pray with here Thursday night, for he hath not another to help him up. Even at times when I did not feel like praying and I call into that prayer call, now, they don't force me to pray with them. But the fact that they are there praying with the Lord, that encourages my heart. It lifts me up and it changes my heart so that I actually desire to pray. That's awesome. Now, without the prayer call, sometimes I'm just too tired. Don't feel like praying. But when there's other brothers in arms in the trenches praying, I'm like, hey, I want in. I'm just saying. And it's a blessing that we can assemble tonight. And so I hope that we can iron sharpeneth iron, right? Hope we can encourage each other to be prayer warriors. Look at verse 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Now, that's, of course, Satan. It's easy for me to get kicked down when going solo. But when we have, when we team up, praise the Lord. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Of course, we know the threefold cord refers to Jesus Christ. And when two or more get it together in agreement, in unity, Christ himself is in our midst. That's awesome. that's a blessing. And so praise God for our prayer service. And even if you're not able to make it, if you can have at least some designated prayer partner, it could be a spouse, brother and sister in Christ, a friend, me, call me. You know, if you can have someone designated at a certain time, that helps keep you in the momentum of prayer, because it's easy for us to kind of quit praying. We think of what Paul is praying for the Thessalonians to walk worthy of the calling. That's a big deal, because he prayed nonstop for them to that end, right? And so if you go back with me to, I need this kind of prayer. Now, Paul's in glory now, so he's not praying for us. But we can pray for one another, right? And so let's go to 2 Thessalonians, back to our main verse, verse 11 of chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Paul, of course, is writing to exhort the Thessalonians, to challenge them to fulfill their Christian calling in their life, to live a holy life of holy living, of surrendered service. We need each other's prayers to do the same. And so pray for me that God will, that I will be found worthy of this calling, that I'll pray for you the same thing. That's the plan, right? You pray for me, I pray for you. We pray for each other. And by the way, just to give us some context, these Thessalonians, they were going through some horrible persecutions. Okay, if you go to verse 5, same chapter 1, but you go back up to verse 5 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 5. It says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted, what? Worthy. This is what's going to happen. Of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffered. They were going through hard persecutions because they were professing the name of Christ. And so Paul is praying that they'll be counted worthy, meaning what? They don't quit. When the persecution comes, they, even if it kills them, to be martyred for Christ, they will soldier on and be faithful to the Lord. That's wonderful. But again, the context here is through harsh persecution. And the Thessalonians, they weren't just some lukewarm Christians. In fact, they were, as it was, already growing in their walk with God. If you look at verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you. So he's always praying for them that they walk worthy, counted worthy, but he's also thanking God all the time for them. Brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, what? Groweth exceedingly. These guys have been growing their walk with the Lord. and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Man, this is a faithful, charity-driven church. It's a wonderful church. I mean, this is what Paul tasked them to do in 1 Thessalonians, and then in 2 Thessalonians, he's commending them for doing it. That's great. And then even then, he still prays that they be counted worthy. And so I kind of put myself in this kind of situation, like, wow, in trials in my life, I don't want to quit. Am I growing in my faith? Am I growing in my charity? And even so, does that mean I don't need prayer? No, I still need it. We all need prayer to be counted worthy, to be counted worthy of the calling to be a Christian. We need this prayer. God wants, look at this, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. And so what happens to a Christian who is counted worthy of the title, right? Being a Christian, being a child of God, being a born-again believer. And fulfill how much? All the good pleasure of his goodness. This is ginormous. God has a reservoir of goodness because he is good that he wants to fulfill in our life. But it would only come to pass if we are walking worthy of the calling of being a Christian. And too often it's easy for me to just pray for blessings when in fact I need to pray that I would be walking worthy of a Christian. And then the blessings would come anyway. Would come automatically, you know. And too many times God has a ton of blessings he wants to bless me with, to be his mouthpiece, to be a channel, to be a conduit, to bless others and to receive blessings myself. Too often God has all these blessings in store, but I'm not living the way I should be. And so I jinx myself. I've clogged up like an artery type thing. I've clogged up the channel of God's blessing with my own sin and disobedience, foolishness, and pride. I'm not walking worthy of being a Christian. And so the blessings are kind of stuck, right? And so if I pray that God, if I'm worthy, then that channel would open and the blessings would come automatically. It's too easy to just pray for blessings when sometimes I should be praying more to be walking worthy. Because the blessings are right there. God wants to fulfill it. You know, I think of ordering up. You want to fulfill an order. And so God has his desires, his plans to fulfill all the goodness in your life. My life. If we but walk worthy. That's awesome. And so that was what Paul is praying. Like, oh, God's going to bless you guys. You can't even believe how much he wants to bless you. But you got to walk worthy. Of all the good pleasure of his goodness. And it's God's good pleasure of his goodness. He delights in doing it. We don't have to twist his arm to bless us. He desires to bless us. You think of any loving parent to their children, they love to bless them. I came back from this afternoon and the kids were playing out in the pool, all nicely tan. And I yelled at them, "Hey kids, I'm home." They didn't hear me. They were, you know, I was kind of far away, but they were all laughing and, you know, in the pool. They couldn't hear dad. And I just stood there smiling at them because they were so joyful. They weren't faking their joy. They were really having fun. Just, you know, it was just a little, you know, inflatable pool. Okay, but they were just jumping in, jumping out, splashing around. I thought, oh, it blessed my heart to see them happy. I was happy to bless them with that pool. We just got it, okay? And so this is God's desire for us. If we but walk worthy, he desires to fulfill all the goodness, all the good pleasure of his goodness in our life, and the work of faith with power. The work of faith, meaning the work of the ministry, the labor that we do. This is, you know, that's why we grow spiritually, for the work of the ministry, right? So that we can labor in God's vineyard, in God's harvest fields. And so we want to be laborers for the Lord. But oh boy, friends, it's a joy and a blessing when we can labor for the Lord with power, meaning Holy Spirit power. Meaning it's not just no power. Like, you know, you don't want to be the best looking model out there, but you're not plugged in to the outlet, so there's no power. We want to have the power of God in our life. If we walk worthy of God's calling as a Christian, he will fulfill all his goodness that he plans in our life. That will be joy unspeakable, full of glory, this wonderful, this side of glory. And the work that we do, the work of faith, will have Holy Spirit power. That's awesome. Look at verse 12. When this all happens, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. When we are walking worthy of our calling as a Christian, we glorify the Lord's name. Of course, it goes hand in hand with John 15, that we bear much fruit, right? That's how we glorify the Father. And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, James. So Hebrews chapter 12. And then verse 28, 29, the last two verses there. May we pray for one another to be counted worthy of our calling as a Christian. It's a huge deal. Paul did not want the Thessalonians to quit, you know, especially when they went through hard times. But he didn't want them to just carelessly walk through life, you know, and saying and just assuming that they are worthy of God's calling. You have to walk worthy. Very similar context to walking circumspectly. Each step, make sure it's aligned to God's word, hence his will. And so this was his prayer for the Ephesians, for the Thessalonians, for the Colossians. And don't just assume that just because we're saved, everything we do will please the Father. No. And so look at verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Of course, we need God's grace and mercy by faith. Whereby we may, what? Serve God acceptably. That means I want to make sure it's easy for me to walk, but it's I want to make sure I walk worthy, right? Anyone can walk, but we've got to make sure we walk worthy. That's the key word, with reverence and godly fear. And so walking circumspectly, making sure whatever I'm doing is what God wants me to do. Because if it clicks, then God will fulfill all the good pleasure of his will. I mean, that's amazing, right? And the work of faith that we are engaged in with what? Holy Spirit power. It will be effectual. That's awesome. Of course, for our God is a consuming fire. We're spared the fires of hell because we are saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. But at the judgment seat of Christ, our works will be tried by fire. And of course, the wood, hay, stubble will be consumed. And so it will be counted lost for us. Only the gold, silver, precious stones will remain. And so make sure that we lay up treasures in heaven. Make sure that we walk worthy of this calling. It is a wonderful thing. God has a boatload of blessings that he wants to give us and through us. But, well, if we want him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Use me for your glory and pray for one another. In fact, let's squeeze in one more verse. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6. And through to verse 18. Of course, the whole armor of God, we've gone through this before, and the spiritual battle is in the trenches of prayer. You know, because you notice right after you have the helmet of salvation and then the sword of the Spirit, verse 17, what do we do to fight? Pray! So praying doesn't prepare us for the work. Praying is the work. And so verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, it's God's will, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul was praying for the Ephesians, and Paul said, hey, pray for me. He wanted prayer too. And as Paul was for the Thessalonians, so we pray with one another, and we pray for one another. Amen? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord, again, to do this calling that we're saved by grace, but help us to serve by faith, Lord, that we will be counted worthy of this calling of being a born-again child of God, a Christian, Lord, and that we would walk circumspectly, that we would serve you with reverence and fear, Lord, and Father, that we would take heed to your word, Lord. Help us to live the life you want us to live, to unleash your blessings into our life, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise.